Can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Hey, I'm Nathan Thomas, and right now I'm not doing much of anything.
Well, that's not entirely true. You were, for those that have been listening to the series and seeing the written posts for the interviews of 30 Days of West Virginia Music, Nathan was a producer on it, and he helped along with transcripts, headline ideas, and a few other things to make the series come alive. So what have you done with West Virginia Music in the past few years?
I was at Marshall University's College Station.
WMUL.
For 3 years, and then at the end of this past semester, I decided to leave. But there, I was music director for most of my time there. So it was a lot of like screening music, but on a more local level, trying to get as much local music as I could on the air, trying to increase the amount of times per day local music will have played on the airwaves. And
but you think, it, for those listening, you might think that's easy, and maybe it is in some cases, but sometimes it's an uphill battle.
Boring computer jargon to deal with. A lot of just dragging things into other folders on a very tedious basis, considering the software that station runs off of.
Another downside of radio in some cases is the equipment. So you've worked at WMUL, which is the station in Huntington. You were born and raised in West Virginia, and you have done a lot of local music with the college radio station down there for a number of years, until about recently when you decided to kind of step away from that. But let's talk about the local music. Like, why do you care so much about local music?
I think for a while I was trying to go elsewhere and find things that, you know, maybe it was just interesting musically to me, or maybe it was saying something about myself. And, you know, no music will speak to you better than the music that surrounds you in your community. It's more representative of any other kind of music of yourself. So I guess I realized that there was more in me and stuff I was hearing at the V Club or whatever than there was in, like, I don't know, Vampire Weekend or whatever.
So you're saying it was relatable.
It was more relatable, and I realized, like, yeah, I was trying to find the stuff I was looking for was around me all along, when really there's got to be a better way to phrase this.
So are you saying, too, that you wanted to leave the state, or you wanted to get out of here, but you realized that there were some good things happening here, and you wanted others to experience the better parts of West Virginia through the local music scene?
Not even that. I mean, leaving West Virginia was never a part of the conversation for me going to college. For better or worse, I applied to one place, and it has an 80% acceptance rate, last I looked. Thank you, Marshall University. No, it wasn't like I was looking for myself in songs, not in a geographic location. And just the stuff that I was listening to wasn't cutting it. And what was cutting it was getting into, like, Coyotes and Boxes for the first time, or going back on Bandcamp and listening to those Bud Carroll solo records, or when Ono finally released that record. So when it comes to songs that literally say more about me as a person than any other songs in the world, no songs have done that better than West Virginia songs.
How would you describe West Virginia songs then? What is it about them that really hits home for you?
Sense of place, mostly. It's
like, what is that place? beyond the fact that they might mention a Tudor's biscuit occasionally,
it's not even like the name dropping of stuff. It's just the song's great and atmosphere that remind me of the creek I grew up on down in nowhere Loudoun-dale, West Virginia. Reminds me of like the Kanawha State Forest type of environment. It creates that like atmospheric mood, and then the lyrics kind of match it in a way. Like I just said, like, the name dropping doesn't matter, but the best example I can think of is completely name dropping stuff within the song. William Matheny has a song that's not even out yet called Grand Old Feeling, and in that he mentions like coffin daffer crosses on the side of the road,
which are, if you drive through West Virginia, you know what they are. They're basically,
if you drive through like most of America,
right,
now at
exactly.
this point.
Yeah, and they're just these three, you know, Jesus crosses on on the hillside.
Like a guy with too much money was found Jesus, and decided to do that. He mentions like above ground swimming pools, just the really like great imagery that, and I told him this, like, oh, these are things I've known literally my entire existence, but no one's put it into a song yet. That's just an example of like, oh yeah, this song is home.
So why should people care about West Virginia music then? Whether they're from here or not from here.
Because it's good and people are working their ass off on it, and it should be appreciated because of that. It's, you have a community of people working, like, I don't know if I'm about to say is even correct or not, but let's say you have, like, a ladder, and, like, the top of the ladder is, like, the top of the music industry, and the bottom ladder is West Virginia. If you're a band and you form in, like, New York City or something, just by being in New York City, you're automatically to, like, the fourth rung of that ladder. West Virginia musicians have to work harder than anyone else. They have to put more time in than anyone else, with fewer places to play on a consistent basis. Thankfully, there are places trying to do cool things. There are plenty of venues in Huntington now, it feels like. You can go out, you know, not every night of the week and hear live music, but 3-4 nights of the week you can go out and...
And they're solid nights of live music.
Yeah.
You know, quality over quantity, yeah.
It's perfect. You can either go to, like, a house show, the 505, or pizza restaurant like the Press Club or the V Club.
Well, that's one of the point you bring up is really one of the reasons why this 30 Days of West Virginia Music series is here, is to highlight the people that are working hard, that are making good music or contributing to the music scene.
And no one's going to tell our stories but ourselves.
Right, exactly.
It's the only West Virginia band getting, like, consistent national coverage is, and I love them, I talk to Jordan, you know, a few times a week, Roswell Kid, but that's because they're on, you know, a label out of New York or Philadelphia, like a big city like that, that has a music hub around it, and they've got a good publicist department.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not Roswell Kid, you have to fight for attention, and even they have to. I'm not letting them off the hook.
Yeah.
It just goes back to that point. West Virginia bands really do have to work more for less. And the only ones here really telling the story is people like you, me, Dave Lavender. I'm sure there's a name.
There's too many.
U92. It just, in terms of like music media in the state, there's not a whole lot of us.
Right, and that's why I really enjoy the series, because it is concentrated it's statewide. It's not just only in Charleston or only in Huntington. So you get to experience a little bit of all parts and all genres, and discovering new favorites or rediscovering your favorites from the 80s or 90s along the way, like we did with Mark Poole or Todd Burge or whomever. But with that in mind, what exactly, you know, Nathan, you've worked with the series now. What exactly have you learned from this season, from 2017, about the West Virginia music scene?
I think the same lesson I learned from 2017 was just a really hammering the point in of what I took away from 2016, which was the best interviews of both series were the ones where you could tell the person was just extremely grateful for how far they were able to make it where they have been, and just how kind they were coming off as. Like, the first interview of this season, Adam L. Meisterhans, mm-hmm. you could tell the guy was just very happy to be playing guitar and touring on a consistent basis.
Right.
He's just really happy to have the opportunities he had.
And I would agree, too, that that's a hallmark of I don't know how many interviews I've done over the years of West Virginia artists, but I would say I've had generally across the board better interactions with those artists than I have with other artists that don't reside in West Virginia. And that's not to say, like, you know, like anyone not from West Virginia is mean or, you know, egotistical.
Ahead and say that, yes.
No, but like it's just that I think you're right that it is, you know, the do-it-yourself kind of ethos of the scene has also made the West Virginia music scene grateful and, you know, just thankful that they've been able to accomplish a little, a lot, somewhere in between.
Plus, if you take a piece of paper and you start, like, putting names in bubbles and trying to connect them all, you'll have a pretty confusing spider web within 10, 15 minutes.
People think that you just went insane. Yeah, because it's you just basically at the end just have all these, like, scribbles all over the place, interlapping, interloping.
So
yeah.
connected and
right.
so friendly to each other. And it's good to have that camaraderie. I mean,
I would say, too, that the camaraderie has allowed the music scene to grow even further, because from last year when the interview series happened to this year, I've noticed a lot of the bands that were interviewed last year have gone on tour with each other or done gig swaps or have, collaborated more on recordings.
Even if they hadn't before.
Yeah.
Like, those really... nice thing. It's
because it's allowing, like, Parkersburg people to work with Huntington people, to work with Shepherdstown people or whomever. I think it's something I've noticed is that instead of, you know, we have these regional sections of music, you can kind of guess what Huntington will sound like, what Parkersburg will sound like, what Morgantown will sound like, but I'm seeing those working together more now to create a more concentrated music scene, which is great to see.
No one's going to know you're there until you start waving your arms and saying, hey, I'm there, notice me.
Yeah.
And for West Virginia acts, I guess their version of, hey, I'm here, notice me, is filling out that form that you solicit submissions from. And then, you know, that helps them literally get an interview with public broadcast. That's a big deal for anyone.
And it's something I hope that they use on their websites or whatever. I hope that they take advantage of this in some capacity and using it as a platform, saying, I was played on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, or I was interviewed by blah, and
could you book me a gig?
Yeah. And any little bit I hope helps, but
here's a 30-minute interview where you can learn literally everything you need to know about my band. If not, there's a transcript some twerp kid wrote. and could I please play your venue? That's a good takeaway. I mean, how often does, like, Jimbo Valentine's interview pop up, or from last year pop up, or are How to Get Gigs in West Virginia post, even though one of the venues is no longer active?
Yeah.
RIP 35th Star.
What's the one interview from this current series that really inspired you or left you thinking about the scene?
I swear I listened to more than one of them because I literally had to for associate producership or what is that the title we
sure,
went with?
Yeah.
You know, whatever, the producer of the series, I literally had to transcribe them all. But there's a really great Adam Meisterhans quote about getting off your ass and getting to work. And like when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, no, I need to do that more. I need to get off my ass and get to work. And that's just consistent with other things I've heard from Meisterhans too.
Right, and that, I like how even though you may not know much about any music or West Virginia music, you could still listen to this series and get a sense of what West Virginia is, how it's like to live here, and just general like motivational stuff. Like, look, like you're right. We've talked about this a little bit, Nathan. You're your own best advocate.
Yeah.
And if you can't advocate for yourself, then, you know, maybe your mom will and your dad and your dog and cat, but that's it.
No, you have to advocate for yourself, get someone to know you, and then hopefully they'll interview you for a podcast.
Right, podcasty chat, yeah.
Yeah, and there isn't much here in terms of, like, media helping promote you, but at least there's this. Like, it's something, it's a great thing. It's an educational tool. Like, Tim O'Brien's chat, it's literally a musical history.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's West Virginia, in a sense. And long after we're all dead and in the ground, people are going to use these interviews to write books. Like, it's that kind of, like, archival thing.
Who knows? Maybe I'll write my own book.
Who knows? Spoiler alert.
What is one thing after listening to this and knowing your work in the music scene in West Virginia, what's one thing that you hope will happen in the next year or two? We've heard a lot of things from artists in the series saying what they hope will happen, what they want to see happen, you know, more all ages friendly venues that have shows earlier, all sorts of ideas, but from your perspective, Nathan, what is it that needs to happen?
To not squander the opportunity that's going to come up in August when Tyler Childers finally releases Purgatory and that national spotlight gets shown on the Kentucky Appalachia region. And to realize that, hey, there's a chance for something here and to go about that in the right way.
I didn't really consider that, but you're right. I mean, anyone listening to this who's an artist, you have about a month or so to get your stuff together to make sure that when Tyler Childers' release comes out, and it's already getting good press between Rolling Stone and NPR and all the other outlets, to get your stuff together and have something out there, support Tyler, but also make sure that you are part of this collective so that when people start looking at Tyler and then they start looking at the region and the people that have made a music scene interesting and vibrant enough to allow Tyler to do something cool, then they'll look at you saying, oh, so you actually were a part of this or you also did things in the same area. So I think it's a valid point, Nathan. I think that's something that people, going back to the original, like, work your ass off, do it now, because this is an opportunity that someone, I forget, in the series made the comment of, like, you know, when I think it was Mark Poole, like, when one person does well, it raises a number of other people.
It was Mark Poole.
Yeah. So I think that definitely applies here, too.
And, like, in conjunction with that, and I guess we've kind of seen what it would be like without him anyway, because I think he's without Tyler Childers, since he's only played like Huntington maybe once or twice this year.
Because he's been on tour and recording and all that, yeah.
Well, no, there's just going to come a time where, you know, a venue in Huntington won't work for him, just size-wise. The V Club is already cramped for every Tyler Childers show, like uncomfortably cramped. Keith Albee's probably too big, and he won't fill the Big Sandy at this point in his career. So after the release of this album, you know, I think HMAF, Huntington Music and Arts Festival, will be your last opportunity to see him in Huntington for a while. And maybe I'm completely wrong with that, and I hope I am, because I love seeing the guy perform as much as the next person in Huntington. But with him on the road more, or him not as connected with the Huntington scene, that's literally your top dog gone.
Yeah.
And Ona will probably fill that spot for a while, but not having a big name to attach your smaller acts to, so the smaller acts get more exposure. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands that people can't see here. It makes it harder for maybe smaller bands to get exposure, so people have to take more chances and go out to see bands that, you know, they maybe never heard of, just so we can keep the thing going there active. And again, he's only played there once or twice this year so far, so I think there's going to be a day after Tyler Childers in Huntington, and we need to be ready for that. As much as that spotlight will shine on us, we also need to be prepared for when he's not in town as much.
And I think the series has shown that there are
plenty
acts
of acts
around the state.
See the dividends.
Right.
You see Shenanigram. They're literally not the same genre of music, Tyler.
And,
but
and you know what, too?
Great guys.
There are other bands outside of Huntington that are doing great things, too. I feel like a lot of this conversation, and this is preference.
But I spent 3 years
in
Huntington.
I know. And that's the thing, Nathan.
I was the Joni of Huntington.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that the series shows that there are other scenes. While Huntington has a very strong.
I also named Roswell Kid a lot.
A lot. It was either Roswell Kid or Huntington.
Yeah. And Adam Meisterhans.
So, but there's a lot of other bands around the state that could easily do that. It doesn't have to be Huntington.
No.
It doesn't have to be Morgantown. It doesn't have to be Eastern Panhandle.
But play Huntington. Play Morgantown. Don't. You're kicking yourself in the dirt if you only play like Logan or Beckley. No offense to Logan or Beckley.
So, very quickly, Nathan. If you have any other thoughts about West Virginia music, what are they? Like, if you could yell something at someone on the street, like, look, I need to tell you about West Virginia music, man, woman, child.
Just listen. That's literally all we're asking for in the first place, is to just listen, open up your ears. If you've come this far in an interview with me, you're obviously a person who does listen.
But get others to listen with
but
you.
But go in the streets, yell in an old lady's face, just listen. Maybe don't do that. That's a little rude.
But do it.
Yeah, do it.
Thanks, Nathan.
No problem, Jenny.